going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
WEEI Afternoons, live from Lambeau Field for the 2025 NFL Draft. But the draft is not the only thing going on in the sports world, and certainly not the Boston sports world this week. Celtics Magic Game 2 tonight at the Garden. And joining us now, as he does each and every Wednesday at 4 p.m., is Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Scal is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by findmassmoney.gov. Scal, how are we doing today?
Well, I just want to know who called me out and said, when I watch Kawhi Leonard, I can make a convincing argument that he's the best, one of the best players in the league. Who called me out?
Not yet, anyone, but, you know, we're a friendlier right, WEEI Afternoons. Yes, there's been a lot of action, so you
Boy,
bring it up.
Balling, though.
A lot of action across the NBA, but we'll start with the Celtics and that game one where I remember early in the year, Scal, you were talking about how teams were going to be physical with the Celtics. They had decided that was the way to defend the Celtics. That certainly would seem to be the tactics of the Orlando Magic. I tweeted that they went with the whole they can't call every foul theory. And it seemed like for a little while there, it kind of stunted the Celtics and then they pulled away. Is that an issue for the rest of the series? And is that something we're going to see other teams moving forward try to do, just flat out be physical with them?
Yeah, I think every team in the NBA, when you try to counter these great offensive players, and there's great offensive players littered throughout the league, and you watch the – I don't know if you guys saw the Minnesota Lakers game last night. Like, oh, the Lakers' game plan was basically that. You're not going to call everyone. How physical can you be? What can you get away with? And if I was going against a player that was better than me and we both decided to foul, like, there's probably a better chance that I'll get called more than him. But – you know, I think for Orlando, it worked in the first half. I think one thing about the Celtics, they really sped up the pace in the second. They picked up their defensive physicality, and then they got out and ran before Orlando could set up their defense, which that was really helpful.
I'm sorry about that, Ted. Did you think it was a hard foul? Did you think it was a dirty play, Scal? Like, were you upset at the moment that Tatum got injured?
I thought it was a little bit extra. Like, there was no way he was going to get that ball. You know, and anytime you're coming across a guy's body, you know, like when the ball is up and you come and your body's away, and so you have to swipe through shoulder, head to get ball, like that type of stuff. So I thought it was extra dirty. I didn't think it was a flagrant too. I thought the officials got it right, but there was a little extra there.
Yeah, it's interesting, Scott. I'm having fun with this series just because of how physical it is. But I want to talk about you got Banchero and Wagner both combining for 59 points, and they still lose by 17 points. Like, what is I mean, honestly, what is the Orlando got to do to, I would say win the series, but just to win a game? I mean, if they're going to produce like that and they still lose by how much? I mean, if you're the Magic's coach, what are you telling them to do to beat the Celtics?
So if you watch a lot of their buckets, it wasn't against our transition. Like they didn't block a shot that led to an easy basket. They didn't get many easy baskets in the second quarter. They had a few offensive rebounds. They shot the three well, and they played a little bit faster. Jamal Mosley has already talked about playing a little bit faster. Both teams, like, you don't want to go against their half-court defense. So I can see them going and getting out and trying to get stuff early. Another thing is, like, the Celtics were never going to overreact to Vancaro and the pull-up jumper or the post-up. They just weren't. It's never in their DNA to double-team a guy or to mix it up. They didn't want to be in rotation. Orlando's not a great shooting team. They didn't get anything from Joseph. They didn't get anything from Cole Anthony. So they have some other places to go, but we could say the same thing about us, right? Like, you could say Tatum and Brown didn't play well, but Derek White got going and Holiday got going. So a lot of good stuff as far as from the Celtic role players. You know, I just don't know, you know, if Orlando doesn't play faster and they're one of the slowest teams in the NBA, you're never going to be able to outscore, outshoot, outfinesse, or out anything offensively against the Celtics.
Brian Scalabrine joining us on WEEI Afternoons leading into Game 2, Celtics Magic. We got to get back to this Tatum injury and the idea that Joe Mazzulla told him to get up, as we learned later on social media. Scal, I think this is a sneaky kind of critical spot for Tatum's legacy or reputation. I don't even know what the word I want to choose is. Do you think he's going to play tonight? I hear if it's a bruise, it's a pain management issue. Does he need to sort of answer the call here, or is this going to feed the people that question his toughness and his alpha dog nature?
I don't know. I don't live in your guys' world, so maybe the guy played. I mean, I do live in the media, but the guy plays all the time. Like, I would never question Tatum's alpha dog legacy or like how much he plays through injury. The one thing I will say is, like, you guys believe in the philosophy of house money. It's in a 7-game series. Like, yep. I think we could beat Orlando without Tatum in Game 2. It would be nice for Tatum to get a little bit of a break going into Game 3. If I could rest him, I would rest him. And if you don't, like, so there's a difference between an injury and carrying an injury. Right now, like, with these gaps in between, it's a great time to sit out. Later on, you don't have that luxury. You're playing better teams and you're playing every other night. So I always feel like in this situation, like if it's a regular season game, which to me, this is like a little bit more intense than a regular season game. When you think about Orlando and the way that they play, we're more than capable of beating Orlando at home without Jason Tatum. So it wouldn't surprise me if they sit him. If this was Game 7 of the first round and we needed to win, I think he would play. But the reality is, after the way we played Game 1, you look at the group, you don't want Tatum to be carrying an injury down the way. I it wouldn't shock me if he sits out of this game, and he has nothing to prove to anybody when it comes to that.
Yeah, Scal, the Celtics had 10 games this season without Jason Tatum. They were 8-2. In those games, oddly enough, those two losses were against the Magic. But one game was a stay-ready crew game. Nobody obviously played in that game at the end of the year. I'm just wondering how, like, tonight and the rest of the series go. We talked about it a touch earlier in our spot here with you. But now you've got Cole Anthony saying, now we've got them complaining and we're going to keep mucking it up. Do you expect this series to be a dirty Celtics-Pistons late 80s style affair? Or do you look for the Celtics maybe to try to turn the offense up and throttle these guys and send a message tonight?
I hope they would play faster. I wouldn't want to get into a wrestling match in the half court against Orlando. You know, like, Cole Anthony's, I think, a little bit drawing for straws here. Like, you know the Celtics are way better than you. By the way, like, you're like the head of your snake, it happens to be out, Jalen Suggs, who's really good, by the way. So, like, I think he's just trying to create some controversy and create something for the Celtics to be motivated by. But I don't really feel like this is a series. I don't think Orlando can score enough. And I think the Celtics can really control whatever they want to control. They want to play fast. They want to play slow. They want to work on their half court. like they could do a lot in this series to kind of get by. And that's the beauty of winning regular season games and having a team that's banged up like the Orlando Magic. Like that's the benefit of doing what you did during the regular season. So Cole Anthony wanting to muck it up or whatever he's talking about, this is just a warm up for us to go into the second round and either play the Knicks or the Pistons.
Okay, Scal, at the risk of sounding like a complete idiot, I played with a ball that was shaped like a prolate spheroid, and you played with a ball that was a round ball, a basketball. So I'm gonna give my this the best shot I can. But yeah, I'm watching Jason Tatum shoot, and I'm looking at the type of shots he's taking, and it looks like it's a lot of like fall away, fade away type of shots, and I'm thinking to myself, he's not owning his space, which is a phrase you love to use, which I love, just owning your space. And it feels – when you see him taking those types of shots, does that tell you anything, or is that much to do about nothing?
I mean, if I wanted to be – let's say I was in your world. The only thing I could say is Tatum could have not shot a single shot in that game the way that we were playing, and we still would have beat them. But I thought Tatum was like, you know what? Let me go out there and go get 15, 20 points at the end. So a lot of times the way the defense is tilted towards him, he was like, yeah, I don't want to end this game with only 6 points. So let me score as many points as I possibly can. But in a real tight game where they're not giving up wide open shots to everybody else, like Tatum will get more free. And then I think for them, their whole thing is like, stop Tatum no matter what. And until Orlando adjusts, which you think they would with Holiday and White shooting the way that they're shooting, it wouldn't surprise me today if Tatum plays, if they just leave someone completely wide open and do the old Memphis Grizzlies or the Oklahoma City. But I think everyone knows you cannot let Tatum get 30 points and you know you're going to lose. So I think people are going down the road and let me stop him no matter what. So I don't blame Tatum for wanting to score more than 8 points in the game, but that's kind of what it looked like to me.
Scal, we've been talking to you for 10 minutes now, and we haven't mentioned Jaylen Brown, and I would guess that's a good thing. You told us last week you'd know when you saw him on Sunday. What was your takeaway from what you saw from him physically in that game?
I mean, he looked great. Like, he got downhill, he dunked it. You know, he still has, like, a lot of space to work. I thought he was good defensively. I thought it was, like, an appropriate game one for Jaylen Brown. Like, we'll know if there's lingering effects. Like, he just had, I think it was 10 days off. So he looked great for a guy that took 10 days off and he looked completely healthy. And we know he got a pain management shot in his knee. You never know how those are going to work. But after watching that, it looked like that pain management shot worked.
That's right. He did. He looked a little bit healthier than anticipated. Scal, I have a legitimate question for you, but first, have you ever heard arm length discussed significantly in drafting basketball players?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Yeah, yeah. It's a big deal, man. It's a big, big deal. Plus four is what you're looking for, right? Like, if you're 6'6", you want a 6'10 wingspan. So, yeah. Wingspan is a massive deal. It's like the most underrated thing when you're drafting a guy.
Thank you, and I hope our producers clip that and play it whenever we rejoin and talk about NFL draft, because I just wanted to welcome you to our world for the last several months as well. Thoughts and feelings on Derek White having to or being needed to replicate what he did in game one tonight again, multiple nights, and how great is it? I'm just a member of the Derek White Appreciation Society. To have a guy that when your stars or your bigger stars don't have it that night, you can touch him on the shoulder and say, hey, we need 30 from you tonight. And he's like, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I think Derek White's going to play well throughout these playoffs, because I just don't think that people can take away everything. And I think Jrue Holiday is also going to play well. So it's going to be really interesting. I will say, like, these coaches, they decide on what they're going to take away. And Joe's done a great job of making sure that the Celtics are like, whatever the defense gives us is what we're going to take. I don't feel like they're taking too many threes. You know, Derek White is benefiting from the whole thing where the defense is tilting towards Tatum, and it feels like Tatum is going to continue to make the right play. So expect Derek White to be pretty amazing. And if he's not, he'll probably do something else that is equally amazing besides make six threes in a playoff game. So, like, yeah, I mean, Brad Stevens and the guys, like, to go out there and find Derek White out of San Antonio – even when you got the trade, if you imagine it being unbelievable, like the best it possibly could, I think Derek White has exceeded our expectation tenfold.
Love him. Love him. See you, Buff. Go Buffs. I'm just curious what you think. I admittedly haven't watched a ton of Orlando Magic, but I'm watching this kid Paolo Banchero play the other night, and I'm just like, he's got every shot. He can do anything with the basketball. And I was just impressed with, like, there's a toughness and a physicality to his game that just really impressed me. What do you think his ceiling is? Is this guy, I mean, is he going to be a top 10? Does he have a chance of someday maybe being one of the top five best players in the NBA? What's your thoughts on that player in particular?
Yeah, so it goes back to the league, and, you know, I don't know how to explain this in football. If Banchero has 50, you don't change your defense to stop him right now, because they're all like tough shots. Sometimes they're like 2-point shots, contested twos. He's not getting downhill on you. He's not drawing two defenders. It's just like his game is not there yet. It's like a lot of ISO, a lot of step back, a lot of mid range, you know, so nowadays, like in the NBA, like the best players are the ones that are pulling multiple defenders their way. And maybe like he gets to that point. I don't know. Like he's a really good player. You know, he doesn't take like a, what we call an efficient shot, but like no one will overreact to any of those shots. And his teammates really won't benefit from any of those shots at this point. But this is like early Tatum, right? Like Tatum was the same way. And then he learned how to manipulate the pick and roll and become a top five pick and roll player. So there's a lot that goes into it about being a star player. And now in the NBA with all the great skill around guys, a lot of it has to do with how much of the defense can you get going your way before you can take advantage of it. And that's where he'll grow into, because he could score. But that's a big part of being an MVP or a top five player that you mentioned.
All right, Scal, before we let you go, I'm not going to ask you to predict tonight's game, because I think we know what you're expecting there.
Yeah.
So maybe just a couple nuggets from the first week or so here of the playoffs, things that have stood out from you, things you've taken from some of the other games around the league.
So Clippers Clippers and Denver is a great series. It's a great series. Like, that's going to be amazing. Like, Clippers got a bunch of underrated players. We've already mentioned the Kawhi Leonard thing. Yep. Zubac is another one. Harden, whatever. Minnesota Lakers, Ted, if you like physical play, go watch that game, man. That was like an absolute bloodbath yesterday.
Yep.
The Eastern Conference, like, I think the Pistons are actually better than the Knicks. Like, we always thought we were going to match up with the Knicks. I think the Pistons are better, you know, so that's an interesting one. And as far as like the Cavs moving forward, it does seem like, in my opinion, that somehow they're going to end up, you know, in that conference finals, and we're going to match up with them eventually. So, and another thing, Pacers beating Bucks is not surprising one bit.
All right, Scal.
Awesome, yes.
We'll be tuning in every night. We'll be tuning in tonight, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, Scal.
All right, sounds good. See you,
man.
See you, bud.
All right, so
good
that's
stuff from Scal, man.
Apparently, never going to be a hoop head, because I watched Banchero the other night, and I was like, dude, that guy's going to be the best player in the league. And Scal's like, those are meaningless points. We won't even double him.
You understood his points, though.
I did.
Yeah.
No, I did. Yeah, yeah. I did. But I also thought when he ended by comparing him to early career Tatum, and then how Tatum's game evolved, that gave you a hint of what he thinks Banchero could be down the
fair
road.
Point.
Because that was the common takeaway that I saw from a lot of Celtics fans. Oh, they're physical. We're better than this team, but that Banchero guy's really good, like best player on the court. So appreciate Brian Scalabrine joining us for a few minutes. WEEI Afternoons is here in Green Bay preparing for tomorrow night's NFL draft, but we will continue to talk a little Celtics, and we'll get back to this Patriots pick. Is it Will Campbell, or his arms too short? Wouldn't make it in the NBA. We know that. He doesn't have the wingspan to be drafted in the NBA, but luckily they want him to play left tackle, and they want him to play on the football field. Trade possibilities and scenarios from Ted Johnson. All that and more up next on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Wingspan is a massive deal. It's like the most underrated thing.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When you're drafting a guy.
Brian Scalabrine.
When you asked that question, I was like, are you for real?
I am for real.
Scal's going to He's going to take the bait on that one.
I'm just going to ask him. He likes to tell us he does a radio show, so he is in this world. He's not just the game analyst on NBC Sports Boston. Well, he knows how this world works.
Go, yeah, you know what, Andy? You're right. You know, if he doesn't play, he's a punk bee, and his legacy
trade
is gone forever.
Get him out of the city.
Right?
I would have appreciated that. I'm pretty sure that would have gone viral.
His whole legacy is basically this game, and if he doesn't play, it says everything you need to know about Jason.
It's a ridiculous take, Andy.
So Ted, we were driving in. We were listening to our buddies Jones and Keefe in the midday.
Yeah.
And the way they have a certain style and tone, I believe they pose it as something like, your coach was yelling at you and your mommy was ready to fight for you, but no, you'd have nothing to prove after this injury. No, they're like, this is what we do as fans. And some people will like him, some people will hate him. The people that don't like him, if he doesn't play and it's just a bruise, it gives him a little something to throw back to.
I hear you. I think it's just it's time and place, and it's kind of like it's the first round against a team that is really doesn't even compare to measuring up to you. If it was the finals, it's a question that he might have. Well, have been more entertained to kind of give you an answer you're looking for.
If it's the finals, I'm not just asking it on WEEI. First Take and all those shows nationally would be asking it. Correct. While we're at the gym on a morning on the Chiron would say, Tatum soft, question mark?
Correct.
And it would be full hour shows and
Bingo.
All that.
Bingo.
I'm just asking it on a local level because we've been dealing with this. Is he appreciated? Is he underappreciated? Does he not get the respect he deserves? And all of these things. And the example I used with you, and it's a very different example, but early in his career, when Jimmy Garoppolo was filling in for Tom Brady, and then he had the AC, non-throwing shoulder, whole thing that was pain management, an issue, could he deal with the pain? Mm-hmm. He didn't play, and everybody said Belichick was pissed, the team was pissed. There were certain radio hosts in this town that were taking cheap shots at his toughness on the radio.
Bill loved the guy. It didn't matter,
so
surprisingly.
Things can kind of evolve. So
I hear you.
But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see, first of all, if Tatum does play, and then it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is or isn't to that. Now, I will also say, if he doesn't play and they go out and win by 20, I don't know that people will really push back on it. The one thing I would also add in, he didn't shoot well before the injury.
Oh, no, he did not.
So,
I think the physicality got in his head.
So the Jason Tatum that I said was going to show up and be the best player in the postseason didn't show up in game one.
Better question might have been. It was a good question. It was a good question.
Thank you. I
think he was going to give you an answer that you weren't going to like. Is if they lose this game without JT and JB leading, what does that do to Jalen Brown's legacy? Yeah, that's the question.
Is that what you people do in your world over there? I'm not in that world that you're in, Ted. But Fitzy, the Celtics take the floor tonight in what I believe Scal said was a little more than a regular season game. Like he doesn't even really consider
He's not giving this respect. This
he kind of, to me, it came across as like major preseason vibes.
Well, yeah. Right.
Guys, it's a warm-up game. I told you that week.
You did.
Dan, he said a warm-up. I was a little surprised to hear him say that.
You did call it a warm-up game.
Yeah.
Other news out of the Celtics. Yesterday, the foregone conclusion, whatever you want to call it, Peyton Pritchard wins the Sixth Man Award. I didn't even know they were starting to announce awards. It kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was like, Peyton, even though I assumed it was going to be, and I thank you, I collected in my FanDuel app for that bet I placed earlier in the year. I didn't want to ask this of Scal because it felt like after the Tatum question, he was never going to answer this one.
Yeah.
So we had
what's the question?
Pritchard, game one, had a nice game against a Magic team that actually he had struggled against all regular season.
Mm-hmm.
He wins the sixth player. How long does Peyton Pritchard accept his role as the sixth man of the Boston Celtics?
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Are you?
I'm just asking. Who's going to yell?
You want a piece at this?
It's a patently absurd. Aside from the fact that what's he going to do? Complain about his money and the opportunities get traded out of town and then get paid to start and still have to accept the $7 million a year that he's making here as opposed to having a chance to win and be a local legend? He strikes me as a guy that's smart enough to know that he is in a perfect spot right here and right now, being surrounded by such great players, the infrastructure of the Celtics. He is being set up for success just as much as he is delivering in the clutch and from distance whenever the team asks him to.
Yeah, Fitzy, this team believed in him. I mean, he got discouraged because he wasn't doing more. And all Joe Mazzulla did was double down on him and love him up and tell him he was valued and build up his confidence. And now Peyton Pritchard wants to pay him back by, you know what? I should be playing over Jrue Holiday. I should be playing over Derek White. please with that.
Or just somewhere else?
That would be
go.
Go,
bro. Go.
Love.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, he plays.
Never.
I mean, averages 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
What if he wants to average 35 a game?
All right. Dude.
And what if he wants to make $30 million a
year? I don't want him on his team. And because, you know what? The teams that have success year in, year out, take reduced roles for the good of the team. Okay? I played on teams like that.
I was going to say, right? You can take the Ted out of the Patriots, but not the Patriots out of
I'm
Ted.
I'm sorry. It's just like, you know what? If you're that guy, go somewhere else. Because, honestly, you're not – I'm going to go ahead and say, you're not worthy of putting this jersey on.
Wow.
How's that? Please. That I can't
and
believe.
And again, it's a hypothetical, everyone, in case you're just tuning in. He didn't ask for a trade. He's not demanding his way out of town. You deserve all the yelling at and then stuff. I might find some. I have some friends in Wisconsin. I might tell them to drive there and yell at you for that one.
Tell them to throw cheese curds at me, and I'll just open my mouth and eat
them. The rotten, moldy curds. They take a while to mold. But yeah.
So is this how we all feel? Is this all just no respect for? Because I actually respected the way the Magic came out. I didn't think it was sustainable, but the way they came out physically, Bancaro made his shots. They hit a couple threes. They had you on the ropes. You were down a point at halftime.
I thought Tatum was affected.
Yeah, I thought so too. So, and if they're doubling down on it, maybe they had
the lead at halftime. Well,
yeah, maybe
they're going to muck it up tonight. I don't think Scal downplayed. He did say he hopes the Celtics can control the tempo, playing an aggressive, upbeat, go-get-em style. Orlando's going to do everything they can to grab them by the ankles and drag them to their hell.
And Fitzy, I would say this. You know what? Okay, Scal, you don't want to give them respect this year, but they're a team on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that. They're 2-3 years away from being, you know, one of the better teams in the East, top teams.
And I do think it wasn't just the physical, but you said Tatum was affected by it. Horford seemed to be upset or annoyed or whatever.
Can I just
he
real
super
quick?
Mad.
Oh, okay. Yes. We'll do that. But remember my question about Tatum's shots, the way
yes.
he was shooting? He completely did not want to answer that.
Yeah, because
I think he's because he knows I'm right.
He did actually kind of acknowledge you were right, because he again used like, well, if I was in your world, I might look at it that way.
And just to remind people, what my question was I thought the way Tatum was shooting the ball was a lot of fades and fallaway shots. When I see him doing that.
Yep.
It's he doesn't want to dip it. He doesn't want to get his space. He doesn't want to be physical, and he's actually affected by the physicality, and so he's worried about his shot getting blocked. So he's got to do these fallaway shots that are like, bro, get your space, be more physical. And I just think sometimes he's just not in that mindset,
right.
And those are the types of shots. But, you know, Scal did not want to
no, and I get it.
Sign
I
mean, off on that.
He's doing color commentary on the team network and the postseason. Like,
but are you guys on my side?
I am on your
100%,
side.
100%. I think he thought his finesse game would win. He must have forgotten. Don't forget, he missed two games against the Magic this year, so he may have forgotten what it's like to get down
and
the mud with them.
And Fitzy, he might have forgotten. Orlando's the second best rated defense.
Yes.
Of team in the NBA.
It was almost like they maybe read the scouting report but didn't remember it or didn't really believe it or think, well, you know, but it's the playoffs. We'll just show up and do our thing. I do think now I think they got their eyes opened, and I think they're so good that with or without Tatum tonight and the rest of the series, they're going to be fine. But the physicality thing and the fadeaway thing is actually, I think, the root of my not always buying into Tatum because I
disdain.
So disdain is strong. Nope. I take back the
strong
word. But he is so physical and he is so big and he has gotten so much bigger and stronger as you've seen his career evolve. He's got the V shape, like he's muscled
up. You think Tatum's physical?
No, he could be. That's my point.
He is.
I think he could. He has the ability
totally
at 6'9" with the muscle and with the athletic ability and the power. Yeah. And the funny part is, he actually was kind of being aggressive, taking it to the rim when he ended up getting hurting the wrist when the two guys, he was going for a monster dunk that I would have jumped out of my seat and said, where's that been for the last X number of
years? Basically saying,
well, that's going to drive him back to playing more timid and on the outside.
Bingo.
That's my worry.
Bingo.
You let them win if you do that.
That's right.
You let them win.
That's exactly right.
And that's where Ted is talking about the fadeaway and the finesse and the step back and all those things that I don't think they're Tatum when he's at his best. Dealing with double teams, splitting them, passing, aggressive, take, like, all those things
he's
he can do.
He's got that down,
Like, don't fall back on your old ways because you got a boo-boo, yep. you know, a bruise on your wrist. So if he's out there tonight, that'll be something to keep an eye on. If he's not out there till game three or game four, also something to keep an eye on. But we're still keeping an eye on, easy for me to
we're
say.
We're in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
We do need to bitch for a minute. We haven't really eaten. So if we run out of gas, we start talking funny.
I can't believe you, bro. I have not eaten, folks. I don't know if anybody cares out there.
They do.
Since like 8 o'clock this morning.
And we saw a buffet line here in media workroom, but unfortunately, this
QR scan code did not get us into that room.
Did you show a ring? Did you tell her how many rings you won? Did you tell her the Packers tried to sign you here back in the day? Did you bring that up?
I didn't want to say.
Do you know who I am?
I almost begged.
If you just walk up to somebody and flex, you might scare them into giving you food.
Dan, I mean, the food was right there. There's the buffet line, and everybody's like hitting this little thing, and the thing beeps, and they go in.
Where's your producers or engineers down there with you? Send them to get some food.
Yeah, let me see. Where are they?
Yeah, where are they? Wait, I'm the engineer and the driver.
We are the producers. The producer. The engineers of, so great point by you. I have not eaten, so I'm not sure what I'm going to say. And it's going to get us in trouble the next day.
It's getting hangry.
A strange concoction of protein shakes, energy drinks, water. I think I had
three protein drinks with me. Yeah. I mean, protein bars with me, or else I'd been really screwed.
But we're going to make it through because that's what we do to bring
just
great
mix
content.
In a Miller Lite. You'll be fine. That'll
hit
hard.
By the way,
last night, holy cow, I've never seen – three Miller Lights go down as fast as I saw them go down.
Is there no sacred off-air?
It was.
You're in Wisconsin. Whoa. Andy, while you're out there, you have to try a Lining Kugel. You got to, like, that's the original drink of Wisconsin. You got to.
It was like he'd been wandering the desert for 3 days and never had anything to drink.
Well, it was a long day of travel.
Dude.
I had gone on a nice 4-mile run by the hotel.
I got more observations about just the eating habits.
I got to be on my P's and Q's. Brian. I didn't know everything I do was going to be broadcast.
You know what, Ted? Why don't you go to dinner on your own tonight?
Good Lord.
I'll catch you later.
Thought I left my wife at home. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons at the NFL Draft in Green Bay. It is the calm before the storm. Tomorrow, we will finally find out who the Patriots are taking, where Shedeur Sanders is going, whether we actually get trades. Brian Baldinger has a premonition/report that something's going to happen in the top five. We're going to continue to talk NFL draft up next here on WEEI Afternoons and take your calls. Join the fun, 617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons.
Two best friends that anyone can have.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora earlier here on WEEI Afternoons talking about Tristan Casas.
Tristan Casas,
big home run last night, had the walk-off the other day, maybe starting to build a little positive momentum. If you missed our interview with Alex Cora, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Audacy app. That's AUDACY. Get that on your phone, and you can listen to everything here at the station. You can go back and watch it on YouTube. You can get his answer about the Wally helmet, which I thought was quite enjoyable as well. So that whole interview is available on the Audacy app.
Good stuff.
We're going to get back to the NFL draft because we are indeed on site in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. WEEI's draft coverage is brought to you by McFarland Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get your sex life back on track, NortheastMen'sHealth.com. By Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts amongst energy drinkers who like to get lucky, including Ted Johnson, and by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and McCormick Grillmate Seasoning. Okay, so we have an exercise we're going to do here. We had Mike Vrabel tell us they do scenarios in the Patriots War Room this week leading up to the draft to get ready for whatever could hit them, whatever could happen. So Ted Johnson was inspired. Ted Johnson put together a list of scenarios that could happen and put certain circumstances in place for the Patriots tomorrow night at the number 4 pick.
Yeah.
So, Ted, we're going to start this here. It's going to roll over into the 5 o'clock hour. So you're going to start with some of the most obvious, I guess, scenarios,
most likely
scenarios.
Yeah, and we can probably do the first two or three pretty quick because we've been talking about it ad nauseum about these. And so the 6 most likely draft scenarios for the Pats are basically the most obvious down to the maybe the least likely, and I came up with 6. And this is all the scenarios is with the assumption that Cam Ward goes number 1 overall,
which he will.
right? So that's yep, that's
basically. If not, then it's chaos.
All right, Fitzy, and you got to tell us who do you think they're going to take and who you would want them to take, okay? And the first one is the most obvious one and probably the one that plays out tomorrow night, and that is who do the Patriots take if Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are off the board at number four? Who do you think the Patriots will take, Fitzy? You start first.
That's left tackle out of Louisiana State University. Will Campbell.
All right, let's all just kind of give our. And do you agree? It's Will Campbell.
Yeah, it'll be Will
Campbell. And I agree as well. So we.
What about the trade part? Are we supposed to acknowledge
that's
that
another
here?
Scenario?
Oh, so this one he can't trade out.
Down.
Correct. The first scenario is there's no trades. Hunter and Abdul Carter are off the board.
They pick,
and nobody wants to trade with you. Who do you take?
Will Campbell.
And I think the Patriots will take Will Campbell. All right, now let's ask it another way. Hunter and Carter are both gone. Who do you want the Patriots to take? Fitzy, you go first.
Running back out of Boise State, Ashton Jeanty.
All right, brother. You want to expand on that thought a little bit?
I mean, just, you know, Ted, I have just been yearning for no player available after Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter will have greater immediate and potential long-term effect, nor is there anyone who is better at their position on either side of the ball, to me, than Ashton Jeanty. And I think a lot of other draft evaluators and analysis agree with it. Plus, in a selfish moment, I'm just dying for some excitement, and he will provide that in abundance this year and for several to come.
Fitzy just wants excitement. He doesn't want the best football team. Just give me some excitement. Okay,
well, hold Andy, on. Wait, since when did getting first down, scoring touchdowns, and making people drop the popcorn out of their wheelchair not win football games as well?
All right, we'll get back to you. Andy, who would you want the Patriots to take if Hunter and Abdul Carter are off?
So Fitzy goes sexy. Yep. And I go, I think, boring. I would say Will Campbell.
Will Campbell.
I don't know if he's going to be the best player in this draft. I think he's the best player for the Patriots right now. For the things we've been talking about, the filling of the need, at least for the short term at left tackle, but also maybe filling the void of being a tough SOB who sets the tone for this team. Logan Mankins was one of my favorite players to ever play for this team. Loved Logan Mankins. And if he brings that mentality, mindset, on-field presence, work ethic, durability, everything you saw from Logan Mankins, that will be a massive step for this football team going in the right direction, not just this year, but for the next 3, 5, 7 years in the future.
I'm not mad at you. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to kind of go to where Fitzy went. A little glitzier, a little sexier, but I think a more impactful player just because of the position he plays than a running back, and that it seems weird because tight ends don't touch the ball nearly as much as running backs do, right?
I can get behind this, Ted. Keep going, baby.
But for me, it's Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren out of Penn State, the tight end. That's who I would want them to take. You know, this year he had over 104 catches, 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. Look, the Patriots need explosive players in their offense, downfield players. They need to bolster up their receiving core. He is a glorified receiver in a sense. So he's not technically a receiver, he's a tight end, but the way they use tight ends these days, it's almost like he's another receiver. So I think he's a more impactful player for your offense and can do more damage than a running back. The running back for, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs isn't as impactful as the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. So and it, to which you would reply, what, Fitzy? The answer to that would be,
there ain't no Ashton Jeanty on Kansas City Chiefs.
I was going to say, hey, the Eagles won with a very good running back as opposed to their tight end. So, it's interesting. We all have different choices on who we would want them to take. We all agree on the Patriots selecting Will Campbell if, in fact, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are off the board, and that's probably the chalk for what will happen in the most likely scenario for the Patriots tomorrow.
So mine is the chalk. Mine is Campbell, and I think everybody, we did the poll the other day, will kind of shrug and be okay with it and acknowledge it. If one of your two scenarios came to fruition, whether it's Jeanty or Tyler Warren, I think, which do you think would be more shocking to Patriot Nation? Which do you think fans would be like, oh my, I can't believe they just did that. I can't believe that just happened.
I think I'll go first, Fitzy. Yep. I think it would be Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
Because of the – I think because the position has been – Tom Brady won so – He won so many Super Bowls without having an elite running back.
Oh, absolutely. I was just thinking, because like Tyler Warren.
He won all the Super Bowls without having an elite quarterback.
Tyler Warren, people compare to Gronk. That he might be a little different spin, but a Gronk-like. And I was thinking, what would Genty compare in a Patriot Nation? The closest thing you'd probably say would be Corey Dillon. What he was that year as a true franchise back, game-changer, set the record.
That was like football. That was like 1985 football, though.
Right,
1,600 yards, right?
Right, and they had a defense that could stop anybody and that whole thing.
Yep.
So which do you think, Fitzy, would be more shocking if they announced Genty or Tyler Warren?
Tyler Warren would be an absolute stunner at four because you have two, albeit 31-year-old, very serviceable to plus-level tight ends, and I can understand him wanting to come in and understudy behind them, being groomed to be an absolute star in the league. But there is nobody, again, at any position that not named Drake May or Christian Gonzalez, who is as good at football as Ashton Genty is. So Tyler Warren would be an absolute shocker at four.
All right, scenario number one in Ted Johnson's draft simulator is done.
In the books,
up next,
we're on the record.
That's right. Up next in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get the rest of Ted's simulations and scenarios. They get a little bit more questionable, a little bit more dicey, so stick around. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.